God.
Seek his favor in everything I do.
Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Everybody doing all right? Good, God is good. And we want to thank him for blessing us to be here today to worship his great name. Let's say thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord. Has God been good? He's been so good. Yes, you've been so good. You've been so good. And I just want to thank you, Lord. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. Yeah. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. Oh, and I just want to thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. If you are visiting with us this morning, you're truly our honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, please stop and just stay here for a moment, and I hope the Lord will allow me to speak through his word to you this morning. If you have a question, you need prayer, you just want to talk to someone, if you call a number on your screen, we'll be more than happy to answer, to talk with you, to speak with you here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We have in lesson three of a series that we started a few weeks ago entitled The Disciples Master Training Series. Disciples Master Training Series. Our theme for the year is what? Making disciples, making a difference. That's our theme for the year. And a disciple is a learner, a pupil, student. And we're all trying to be students, better students of our great God in heaven. And so we're always in the learning process. And we've gotten to the point now in our lessons this year that we're getting into some deeper study, and we know it is deeper waters, but you don't mind going out in the deep waters every now and then. I hope you don't. I can't swim. Well, you stay in the boat then. Stay in the boat if you can't swim. But you know, you can't. They tell me that you can't catch the big fish till you got to get out in the deep water. That's what they tell me. And let's study God's word. This is a participatory series, and you won't get out what you need to get out of it unless you put something in this. Don't depend on the preacher to give you all of this. This is something that we need to engage in ourselves because it is serious. I'd imagine to say that many, sometimes now we as teachers and preachers, we avoid going too deep because we're scared nobody's not going to hear us. You're going to go to sleep, and you want something to make you shout and holler all the time. Well, you need something to shout about. You need to know what we are doing in this Christian race. And we're in lesson three. We're in the book of Ephesians. The chapter is chapter six. We've already assigned homework, and I know many of you have already done it. But if you haven't, at least read Ephesians chapter six. You really need to read the whole letter. It's dangerous to read a segment out of any letter. But you really need to read Ephesians chapter 6 to get more out of this lesson. Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus and writing to us today. And the brother read in your hearing a few moments ago about the armor of God. The armor of God and putting on the full armor. And that's why we decided that we were going to take our time and go through each piece of armor. because another important point to remember is that this lesson won't help you unless you put on the whole armor. Yeah, I'm serious. If you leave off any piece of this armor, it's going to bite you. It'll bite you in life. It'll bite us in our Christian race, and we won't be nearly as effective. And so last week we were on the first piece of armor, and it was the belt of truth, the belt of truth. Gird your loins, as Scripture would say. And as if you've read this text, you'll notice all of the action verbs that apply. And so this is not one of those, well, these are helpful hints, if you will. You know, sometimes we read and we want helpful tips. Well, these are not tips. They are either you do them or you do not. Either you are helped by them or you are not. And all of them will have an action verb in front of them. Like it will say, for instance, in verse number 11, it says, put on. It says, put on. Verse number 13, 11 and 14, it says, put on. The belt of truth says, gird up. And then you have the our feet, the shod, put your shoes on. Then it'll say, take up. Several instances in this passage. So always an action verb. So that means that this stuff not just going to fall on us. It's something that we have to do. Lord have mercy. That doing gets us, sometimes we just don't want to do nothing. Lord help us. Give us strength, Lord, to do something. Get up and do something. And so we were on the first piece of armor. It's a belt of truth. And truth, notice, armor is for our protection. And really, when you read all of these elements, they are protective gear. They really are defensive gear. Really, there's only one piece of equipment that's offensive. We'll get to it a little bit later on. But all the rest of them are for our protection. And it's as we walk out into the world, because we're to be lights in the world. And Lord have mercy, some people don't like the light. Some people don't want to deal with the light. And we said the truth was the belt that holds everything together. It protects us because it lays this solid foundation. And we need to put the truth on first, because it's the foundation. And it's what we said. Because see, we can go on doing some things, but if it's not based on truth, we'll find out later on that it didn't count anyway. Truth protects us, and truth regulates especially our emotions and our feelings, because so many times we just do things based on what we feel. And that truth will regulate your feelings and keep them where they're supposed to be. Truth will even override your feelings. And truth will get you back into reality and say, listen, I know you're feeling this way, but that's not the truth. You need to stay with the truth. And there are many instances. I could give you several instances in the Bible where truth is where truth needs to stand. For instance, I'll give you one. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, this is for those who want the truth. Now, if you don't want the truth, you won't do this. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul wrote to the church about Christians taking other Christians, suing other Christians. Now, you didn't want to hear that, did you? But he talks about Christians suing other Christians. And he said, this ought not to be so. He said, don't you know that Christians, the saints, will judge the world? He says, you can't settle your differences among Christians. But Gary, you understand, he messed over me. She messed over me, and I don't nobody mess over me. Now that's your emotions. That's your feelings. And I know, Lord, I know some folk will do that. And people hurt us. But see, God wants us to see, this is bigger. Being a disciple is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. Oh, damn it. Lord, help us, Jesus, to grow in the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Because, boy, when people mess over you, you just want to get them. Nobody mess. I'm going to show him, yeah? You're going to spend all your money, go to court, spend all that money, go to court, so you can get them to say, I told you, you don't mess over me. And when you get through, what have you done? Judge looking at it. If being a Christian, if those people are Christians, I don't want to have nothing to do Yeah, like folk out in the world. Let me go on to my next point. All right. Yeah, I didn't give many amens to that one. The second piece of armor Paul mentions is in Ephesians 6:14 also, along with the first. Brother Red, in your hearing, we have the gird yourself with the belt of truth. Then we have the breastplate of righteousness. That's our third lesson, the breastplate of righteousness. You gave me your permission to take my time, so I'm going to take my time and stop at my allotted time. I think you gave me your permission. What purpose does a breastplate serve in this armor? What place does a breastplate serve? I had a picture of the breastplate, the Roman soldier. And remember those that's just joining us in this series, the Roman soldier. Paul was in prison for 2 years, and he was in Roman prison, and he saw prisoners and saw the soldiers and what they wore. And Romans were full of power and respected and feared among all the people. And the soldier was a symbol of that power. And that Roman soldier was tight and had all of that armor on. And the breastplate was impressive just to even look at. And it covered the front and the back. And it was very impressive. Paul uses this image as we are in our Christian race. But why is the breastplate important? I put also a today's soldier, a picture of today's soldier, if you'll put it up there, the armor, the front body armor of today's soldier. Why is the breastplate important for both the ancient soldiers? Why was it important and for us today? Well, the breastplate was a central part of the Roman soldiers' armor. It provided protection for the torso. The torso contains all of the vital organs, the heart, the lungs, and the liver, all of these organs that it would only take a pierce of anything that would bring instant death to anyone who was attacked in this torso area. And without a breastplate, the soldier would be asking for death as any attack would be fatal. But with a sturdy breastplate, the very same attacks became ineffective and even useless, because the breastplate would make the blows glance off the armor and would protect him. And so you see the importance of a breastplate in fighting, soldiers fighting back then, and even today our police officers wear body armor, thank the Lord, because you just never know who's out there and never know what might happen as you're out to battle. And see, for us as Christians, though, he says the breastplate of righteousness, because God knows, Paul knew back then, that all the blows, we're not worried about the physical bullets, while we do worry or concerned about them. But there are other arrows and blows that Satan always is trying to hurt those who would serve God. And all the blows of Satan won't be blocked necessarily. We'd have the shield of faith, but some of the blows get through. Some of the blows get through, and some of the blows will hit us. They're gonna hit us. They're gonna hit us in the heart. They're gonna hit us where it hurts. But we need something to buffer that. We need something to buffer those blows. And God truly understands. Some of the blows will be intentional. Some of them will be unintentional. He says righteousness is what is going to hold us up when we get these blows. Hello, help us, Lord Jesus. What do you mean? Righteousness. See, that's some things happen to us in life that we see coming. Because some people don't care what you're trying to do, how you're trying to. See, there's some people who don't care that you got a happy marriage. Some folk don't care. Then they would. Some folk don't care that you get along with your wife, you get along with your husband, and that some folk will intrude on your relationship in a heartbeat. Yeah, they may be on your job. Lord have mercy. I know they're not in the church. I know that if you're in here now, stand up so we can see you. Yeah. And some things they hit us right where it hurts the most. Yeah, and so if somebody throws a blow at you and you don't have righteousness on your side, then it can kill you. It can kill you physically, but it surely will kill you spiritually. And God tells us, he says, to put on this breastplate, take up this breastplate of righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. And I know we need to define what righteousness is. Because it's the only thing that's going to save us when some blows hit. It's the only thing. See, you have to have in your mind what you already know is right before you can stand against some of these blows that people shoot at us, that Satan shoots at us. See, there are some people, you say, well, I want to be a disciple. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I've been baptized in Jesus Christ. Some people don't care about that. That you're a Christian, that you were baptized in water for the remission of your sin. See, there are some people who if you're a young person, there's some individuals who just want to hang out with you because they see you and they want to hang out with you. They don't care about you being a Christian. They just want to hang out with you. And you don't even see it coming. You don't see it coming, and you just as naive and gullible. You just think they like you because you are. But when they hang out with you, they want you to do what they do. Yeah, and so you have to have in your mind already what your standards are and what is right in your eyesight and what you feel is right, what you know is right, because if you don't, they're going to have something for you to do. Amen, somebody. Yeah, and see, and this is something that you have to, before time, put on yourself. Yeah, you have to put it on yourself. And see, there are some who want to hang out with us and just want to do what you. And some people don't care about our goals. You know what your goals are in life. Goals. Some people don't care that you plan on going to college and that you plan on doing this, having a career, and having. Some folks don't care about that. So all some folk care about is their own selfish desires. To our beautiful, sweet young ladies here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, innocent as you can be, looking so cute and quaint and wholesome and just gullible. Oh, Lord, if we could get in your ear and talk to you before you meet one of these darts. One of these arrows, and that you can set your standards before you sit down, before you listen to all what you, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Boy, I love it. I love the glow girls and the glowing sisters, the glow girls leaning on women. Oh, mature son, I love it what you are doing with our girls. Do we need a church? Yes. We need somebody to help them establish, to put on this breastplate of righteousness and to set your standards and keep them there. Because you're going to run across, see, you're going to run across some characters. Oh, have mercy. And I would tell you, maybe 20 years ago, I would tell you, watch out for them hard-headed boys. I still would tell you to watch out for the hard-headed boy, but watch out also for these slick girls. Yeah, and see, listen. You see, notice this. This is something you, and the reason why I love it, what you're doing, is because you need to do this before you 13. You need to do this before, you need to do this ahead of time. You need to know what the standards of righteousness are, because that's the only thing that's going to save you. Yeah. And I guess, you know, you all know I had three girls, and Lord knows. I'm speaking from experience. You know, because see, something mom and daddy can't do for you. Yeah, they can't put the breasts on and jump in there and take all the blows and for you, all because they're not around you all the time. Amen. You have to do some things for yourself. Yeah, so understand that. I know what Paul is saying. And no, and then we're talking about young folk, grown folks walking around here naked as a jaybird. Walk in the situation. See that? See, some of us, we even in our personal lives, we don't have our breastplates on. The Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked. You going in the business? Don't go in the business with the devil. Yeah, you get in contracted in relationships, all kind of relationships, and we're not putting on what God would have us to put on, and we look up and it's too late. Lord have mercy. Yeah, see, why is righteousness associated with protective armor like a breastplate? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4. Proverbs 11, 4. I'm going to read a few scriptures. It says, this is wisdom from Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Boy, there's a lot of wisdom in that statement. Because you think, you know, we know that money does answer all things. But that's in the Bible. It does answer all the things. But that's sometimes money can't even help you. You know a sad story the last couple of weeks that we've heard on the news is the story of Aaron Hernandez. Some of you know, some of you don't. Aaron Hernandez used to play for the New England Patriots. A great tight end. Had just signed a $40 million. Notice this, $40 million contract. $40 million, and sadly, last week he took his own life. It was the culmination. That was the end part. He was convicted of murdering his girlfriend's sister's boyfriend. And I was reading it a couple of days ago, you know, just kind of update on the story. And I'm not bad mouthing him. I'm not, you know, God is his judge. But it is an example that is before us, and you can't ignore it. And he killed his girlfriend's sister's boyfriend. He was convicted of that, and then they tried him for two more murders. And these two more murders, these two other murders, he was acquitted of that. But these murders, they say that he did them because it was to cover up another shooting, and so he was. I mean, he's playing professional football, and then there's some other details I won't bring up in the pulpit that I read about. I didn't know about. I said, Lord, have mercy. And of course, he had great lawyers, and I tell you what. Some of that $40 million, he spent a lot of it, on lawyers. But in the end, the lawyers couldn't help him. In the application of this passage, the only thing that would have helped him is righteousness. You know, that's why I know, you know what, young people, I know it sounds like when we get old, we preaching and, you know, your mama, you know, don't you get tired of hearing your mama say, why are you doing, don't do that, don't hang out with, don't, watch what you're doing, what, your dad, they say, what you doing, where you going, I don't want you to go there, come on, you know, don't you get sick of hearing that. When I was young, oh, Lord, my mother, ooh-wee. Oh, she just go on and y'all. She be at the cooking dinner. Did I tell y'all? Did y'all hear what was on the news last night? Did I tell y'all? And she be talking to herself sometimes. She be watching it. I don't know what the world coming to. Ooh, these children. Ooh, y'all, please don't. We be the mama. My daddy wouldn't say much. He wouldn't say much. But he would put his 2 cents in. And now, as I've gotten older, sometimes my wife would be talking to our kids, and I'd be listening. I said, "Ooh, Lord, I know they tired of hearing her." I'm tired of hearing it. but now as I get older, I said, I don't know if she talked enough. You know, I say that because you see what's going on. You see your kids go, you see the stuff that happened, and you was like, why did you get in the car? Why did you go there? You know, I've had. You know, when you're young. You just young. I don't want to call us. You know, when you're young, sometimes you just do stupid stuff. I just don't know how else to say it. I mean, you know, it's like you get bored and everybody go, man, y'all going to so and so? Y'all going? You be like, yeah, I want to go. You don't even know where you're going, but just want to go. I remember going, you go places, and see, your parents be so worried because they know when it's a group of young people, when it's a big group, see, you're not where, see, it don't take but one person in that group to be crazy. And you know some of your friends have gotten shot, got put in jail, notice this, gotten raped. And so see, all the money your mama and daddy have can get you out of some trouble. And some of our parents mortgage their houses. Same thing goes for us as adults. You can go get the best lawyer. We got some good lawyers at the church. Yes, we do. But what we need to do is to put on this breastplate of saying that I'm going to do my best to do what's right in God's eyesight. That's the best defense, is righteousness. It's keeping God on our side and thinking about what we're going to do before we do it. Yeah, we know that. We know that, Solomon. I don't know why we... What is righteousness? What is righteousness? I got an end on time. Psalms 119, 172. I know this is an Old Testament, but these principles apply. The psalmist said, "Let my tongue sing of your word." We talked about this when we were discussing the girded with truth. See, remember, sanctify them with thy word. Thy word is truth. See, truth is what is. It's what's gonna happen. It's gonna come about whether you believe truth or not. That's what truth is. Truth is God's statement. Whatever God's statement, his laws, they are true. God's word is true. But he says this. He says, "Let thy tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." So. Whatever God's commandments, whatever God tells us to do is the right thing. is what he's saying. And so truth is his word. So righteousness is us taking God's word and doing what he says for us to do. Notice, that's our standard. That is the breastplate. That is the only breastplate. That will protect us over anything. That's what he's saying. Now. In the suit. So see, that's why this word is so important. And we need to know what it says. See, it's always right to obey God. Always right to obey God. If you ever get mixed up in your mind, say, well, is this obeying God or is it not? Listen to what Peter said in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. Uses this term men generically. Any man, any woman that would entice, invite, influence you, us, me to do anything that is against God's will is not God's will. Yeah, get that in your mind. Get that in your mind. Yeah. See, since I mentioned this to the young folk, it's not just to the young folk. It's right to obey your parents. It's right. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is, now, if your parents want you to do something that's illegal, that's against God's commandment, it's wrong to obey them. But I tell you, you'd be hard-pressed to prove your parents telling you something wrong. My parents don't know everything. They know more than what you know. Most of the time, not very many parents are going to tell you to walk into the fire. And though you might not understand everything they're saying and why they are saying it, they are your parents, and it is right because God said it's right. You be hard-headed and disobedient, you'll end your life early. That is a foundational youth commandment to young people that will bless your life now and in the future. Put it on. Don't be one of them hard-headed, rebellious, lying, sneaking. I'm sorry for frowning. I had some flashbacks. Ooh, Lord, I know I was young, and I don't want, man, well, he act like he talking to me. A lot of time when I'm studying, I'm looking for something deep, something that, you know, it's not as deep as you think it is. I got in some trouble when I was young. But I didn't get because I had brothers and I could watch them. And I got in some trouble, but I missed a lot of trouble. I did. How many of you like to get in trouble? It's not fun, because either you're going to get something taken away from you, you're going to get punishment, you're going to get some pain. And I saw enough pain in Anthony Vincent. I don't want no parts of that one. And I'm just telling you, this is just the truth. It's right to be kind and ready to forgive. See, why? How do you know that, Brother Gary? Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. This is disciple training. See, Christians, disciples, ought to be the kindest people in the world. Disciples ought to be the most forgiving people in the world. Pray for us. We need some help in this one, don't we? because there is something that we don't want nobody to get the edge on us. She's not gonna do that to me. I'm not gonna let him get away with. That's not God's talk. See, first of all, God is long-suffering. He's not willing to any shit. God trying to save the whole world. And see, and we are the lights. See, some people haven't been raised like you. Some people don't know what kindness is. Some people don't know what forgiveness is. And they won't see it unless we show them. And so God, see, you thinking about they don't do me like that. And God thinking about, I'm trying to save their soul, and you the only person that's going to be able to show them. And you see, you think about when you forgive somebody, they going to think I'm weak. That's what's wrong with you. You too kind.
Yeah,
see, this is something we got. That's why we got to put this on. It's not going to put itself on. You change them. It helps you. It helps you in life when you kind to people. It opens doors that meanness and hate and revenge will never open. That kind of stuff starts wars and feuds. There's sometimes you have to stop bringing up everything and say, I forgive you. It's right to love your wife. We're talking about righteousness. Brothers, ain't no shame in over-loving your wife. See, show her that you love her. Show it. But girl, you know, that just ain't in me. Put it on. you know, your wife is yearning. That's what she wants. Well, she don't do this and she don't do that. That's her. We talking about you right now. And we talking about God's righteousness. See, listen to this. Ephesians 5:28. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. See, if you can't love your wife, then you need to go to the doctor. You need to get a checkup. And you need to have somebody to help you. Help you understand why you can't love yourself. Oh, wouldn't it be beautiful if every man in here cherishes his wife? And see, when you love somebody, I don't know how to look. Yes, you do. You know what you like. You like to eat. You like good food. You like to sleep comfortably. You see, there are things you don't want nobody hollering and screaming at you. Amen. You surely don't want nobody to hit you because you will kill them. See, it's always right. Always. You can never miss if you show love to your wife. And see, I know you, you thinking about what you have to do, but God knows us. See, the things you really want, you won't understand how God going to bless you when you learn how to love your wife. Amen. I want her to do this. Love her. I want her to be better. Love her. Right. She can't cook. Help her. Right. Cook yourself. Amen. If she can't cook, baby, you know what? I got this. No, I got this, man. You sit down, I got it. Listen, and truthfully, anybody can cook. They got books. They got shows. Sit down and watch one of them shows and follow it and do what they do. Quit making an excuse about you can't cook. I'm talking to the men, not you women. Oh, but Gary, see, that's what love is. It's right to reverence your husband. You know, the scripture says in Ephesians, the latter part of it, Ephesians 5:33, the latter part of that passage, the wife must see to it that she respects or reverences her husband. Sisters, it's right. No, that's what he wants. It's right. It's right to respect. It's right to, baby, is there something you need? Baby, I wanted to check with you first. Baby, is this something that I was thinking about doing this, but I wanted to make sure that you, is it okay if I? Okay, you ain't got to do that. It's not helpful, it's right. It's right for you to honor that man. It's right for you to hold him up and over any other man. That's the right thing. That's what he, sisters, I'm a man. That's what we want. Even when we act like we don't want it, we brothers, don't we want it? Yes, what I'm talking about. Y'all should have been up hollering and screaming. Yeah, we don't want you to go out on your own. I don't need no man to do that. Well, you shouldn't have gotten married. Respect him. I ain't used to that. That's why you got to put it on. So you have to. It's something that you have to do. I told you this. This is not for the timid. Yeah. There's so much more. See, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, I got to end in 4 minutes. 1 John 3, 4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And notice, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But see, I'm not trying to hope put you to a standard that God doesn't put us to. But at the same time, we need to understand this. He's termed everyone who practices. See, we need to get out of these bad habits. These things that we are doing consistently that we know are against God's will. That's what the scripture means when you practice something. You know, to practice you repeatedly doing this over and over and over and over again. He says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. See, some folk don't want no rules. Some kids go to school. They got all these. Yes, they have rules in school. The rules are not for those who are orderly. The rules are for those who disorderly. And see, people who resist. And we're talking about God's commandments. God's commandments are not grievous. They are the best. They'll give us the best life. And the scripture would say, listen, if you're going to practice sin over and over, you are practicing lawlessness, and that is what's going to get you killed. That is what's going to put you on God's bad side always. In everything. You always have somebody who's trying to look for a way to get out of doing, notice this, what is right. And God has a standard. Yeah, he does. And it's the best standard. Yeah, I mean, it really is the best. It's a beautiful thing. And see, I only reason why, maybe sometimes, you take a child who a young lady who listens to her her parents. And you know what I mean? I'm not saying she's perfect, but she listens, and she's not rebellious, and she listens to their counsel, and she takes their advice, and she's under their protection, and she listens to their guidance, and she's pursuing her dreams and goals, and she's not out here follagagging with everything, every loose leaf that's coming up, and she's not sleeping with every boy who asks her for her phone number. And she says, listen, I don't do that. That's not me. I'm trying to do right. I got some goals I'm trying to do. I want to go to college. I want to get married. I want to do it the right way. Isn't that beautiful? That's what every parent wants. That's what every child should want. And so there's a price to pay when you don't do it God's way. And we're talking about putting it on. And my time is up. I need to stop. I have about an hour left. But I'm going to stop. I want you to read your homework. The breastplate of righteousness. I wanted to go over some Old Testament passages, some New Testament passages, some Old Testament passages that warn us and that also show us the blessings in righteousness. See, I mean, you know, there's some great examples of how God blesses. And see, the blessings outweigh the pain. The blessings outweigh the temporary pleasure we get from being disobedient to God. Lord, help us. You here today, you're not a Christian, you need to be. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're willing to confess Christ and be baptized in water, you become a Christian. And see, so many of us in here this morning, we're on this journey, and we decided that we want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We believe that it's the absolute best life a person can have while he's on this earth and obeying God's will. And now we are trying to understand and grow in the Lord. Now, we're not there yet, don't you? If you hear, visit, you hear, y'all standards too high. Well, God's standards are high. We all trying to reach God's standard. We not there. Are we there yet, church? No. We're not yet there yet, church. But I tell you what, we're striving. Amen. We are striving, and we want to make sure we understand what God's standards are. We don't want to miss the mark by not knowing. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. And so if you want to be on that journey with us, if you're trying to make heaven your home, you need to decide whose side you want to be on. And we hope that you come to Christ Jesus today. If you're here and you have a prayer request or something in your life, please make it known to us, and we'll pray for you today as we stand and sing the song of invitation.